it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Podcast feed. Look, you fucking heathens, you're getting what you want, all right? I lost, Nate lost, Sammy won. This is a combination that people say they like. Horrible day. I mean, had the nuts, obviously, pre-lock, swapped off of it to play what was the third blended optimal instead of just playing the top one. You just... Guys, you truly hate to see it. And then obviously the Chiefs lose on a last minute Mahomes interception. I mean, just really disgusting stuff out there.
Nice little dingleberry on top of your turd Sunday for the day. Davis, I just got to say, man, I'm proud of you for manning up and getting on the show. I know you didn't want to do it since.
I honest to God, I was about to just message Blender and be like, will you just go do the show? Will you just do it, man? Because I really don't want to do this, but I know that the people want it. So I guess in the context of the week, it was pretty interesting because I think most people just ended up playing either the team they had on Tuesday or the team that they are a 2v2 of the team that they had on Tuesday. I mean, it was pretty close to a prove it week, although Nate, you'll have to check on this for me. Did the Tuesday team, Josh Allen, Kenneth Walker, Ramondre, Eno Benjamin, Diggs, Lockett, Rondale, Higbee, Panthers team, did that team cash in the $50 single entry double up? I don't think it did.
It didn't make it.
Higbee had 1 point. Higbee had 1.6 points.
Yeah, but Diggs smashed super hard.
But he got outscored.
That team ended with 133.06.
So that was, yeah. So I'm looking at the massive $50 double up right now, and 135.86 was the last cashing spot. Also, the other thing that we don't see this happen. This will happen once a year, pretty much, where the train will be so big that you'll actually be quote unquote cashing, but you will be, you know, losing a little bit, right? Because there's so many people have the same teams.
You're that chopping happened. Them in cash.
So what that is what Nate, that is what happened to my
with
team.
Unswapped. Yeah.
If I had not swapped, I would have recouped like 40% probably. Let's see here. Let's just look at the end and see what let's just line right now. What percentage of entries do you think my cash team got back? How many, like what percentage of money do we think my
10%?
Yeah, you 10%? Scored 109. So yeah, you're single digits, buddy.
So I entered $865 worth of games with this team, and I got $41.60 back.
5% back. Yeah, that's
I fucking hate it. God damn it. All right. Okay.
I thought having a bad day, but I almost made 50% back. I'm feeling much better now.
Well, you didn't swap, right? You held at the 130.
Well, no, team. I didn't swap because I only had two freaking players in the early slate, and it was Ramondre and Mark Andrews. What was I swapping?
Yeah, there was not an option. Yeah, there was no
swapping
reason.
Was not an option for me. I just had a gal brain team because I thought it was sharp to have DK and Lockett and Rondale Moore in the second highest team total game, and I thought I was just
I was confused, Nate.
What could go wrong when you're just relying on Geno Smith and Cliff Kingsbury offense? I mean, how can
honestly,
you fail?
Honestly, I should have played the Sammy team. I felt good about getting Andrews. I didn't want to mess with the Higbee. I didn't want to mess with the what was the other team? The
Well, there was the team that I played with Hayden Hurst, obviously would have been
better. Yeah, the Hurst team.
Well, I should have played.
I wasn't going to play the Hurst team. I wasn't going to play the Higby team. I wanted to play Andrews. I looked at the Godwin thing, but felt so concerned about Godwin, like, not playing snaps that I was like, why wouldn't I just play DK and Lockett on the same game in a 50-point team total, in a 50-point game total? This is the second highest game total of the slate. What am I thinking? So I felt sharp about it, and it was bad. It all the reasons why you don't do that happened.
So Sammy,
that's right.
You win the three man 144.66. Josh Allen, Eno Benjamin, Ramondre Stevenson, Tyler Lockett, Rondale Moore, Chris Godwin. What was Godwin owned in the $50 double up?
I think it was like 18%. Let me.
There was a lot of concern.
He was 25. He was 25%.
I mean, if you tell me that the Buccaneers lose this game, I would have played him for sure. Like
he was the fourth owned wide receiver in cash. It was, so he was pretty chalky. I mean, it was Lockett. It was the highest owned, then Diggs, then Moore, then Godwin. So I mean, Godwin was a chalky build.
You know, sometimes you guys, it's a little bit more of an art, and you got to understand that Tom Brady, even though he's complete dust, which is so clear, I can't believe they lost to Pittsburgh, so shameful. But for years, he's been cutting up the slot against Pittsburgh. For years, like when he was on New England, he just killed Pittsburgh in the slot all day, every day. It was just an easy
game.
Godwin ran bad not to get the bonus.
Godwin. If we have full knowledge of snaps and everything, like I'm not going to criticize you for that. Like all good with me. My concerns on Godwin were nothing to do with his volume, nothing to do with his role. Just like, are they going to continue to ease him back in? Are they going to be winning by 57 the entire game? You know, like if the game script that happened against Atlanta happens against here, I don't think he was a good cash play. You alphaed up and played Mark Andrews. You played Kenneth Walker in the flex in the New Orleans Saints defense. Nate played Josh Allen, Daryl Henderson, Ramondre Stevenson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Rondale Moore, Mark Andrews, Eno Benjamin, and the Panthers defense.
I basically had a 2v2 on Sammy, which was just Sammy went Walker and Godwin, and I went
Metcalf
Henderson and Metcalf. Yeah.
And then I played, originally, I played Josh Allen, Alvin Kamara, Ramondre Stevenson, Tyler Lockett, Stephon Diggs, Rondale Moore, Hayden Hurst, Eno Benjamin, and the Jaguars defense. I swapped Lockett, Diggs, Rondale to Gabe Davis, Valdez-Scantling, and DK Metcalf. Those guys combined.
You're a coward. You're a coward for not swapping to Hardman instead.
Oh, I know, right? Because then I think
so bad for the brand.
So it's actually, honestly, it actually wouldn't have got me anywhere because you swap to Hardman so that you can play Hollywood Brown over Gabe Davis, I think is what the swap looked like for me in that was I don't know. It's like whatever. Yeah, right. I liked those swaptions because Davis was leverage on Diggs, Metcalf was leverage on Lockett. And I just liked him, and on Walker too. Yeah. Really though,
swap was actually smart. Like, think about it.
It was fine.
If you
did
swap, you would still be down equity. Swapping only would have increased your chances of, like, even if you didn't swap and you had all the run out, you're stuck in the biggest train in the field. So like, you're screwed anyway.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Let me ask you guys kind of an existential question. Like, sometimes is it better just to take the L and lose 40% instead of increasing all your variance
and just having
a chance of getting dusted?
No, like just from like an expected value calculation standpoint, accepting a suboptimal outcome as your best outcome is like a long-term path to losing money. Now that gets into more advanced, like, because we don't have like simulations with live data. Like, we're not running sims with like what points have actually been scored and things. So yeah. We're doing astrology with these swaps, right? This is not science with these swaps. Like, I'm sure there are guys out there, you know, I'm sure some of these guys who are playing lots and lots and lots of money in these slates have a more scientific process, but we're like,
if, If all you're playing is head-to-heads, then yeah, Davis is right. You should swap. If all you're playing is double-ups and 50-50s, then sticking with the field and not gaining leverage off of the optimal lineup that you thought is probably better at that spot. But I guess
I would have thought the opposite.
No, because in head-to-heads, you want to – like, if you know that you're down and you're playing from behind and you just want to leverage up on your opponent in a 1v1 situation, but if you're –
I'm not swapping in one game because I just play so many because I've got like 200 head-to-heads going in any given slate. So I'm not swapping individual opponent. I'm just global swapping.
Right.
Like maybe if I get like a 109 or like if I get like a softer game, a big one, I'll go look. But the people haven't been sending invites, I think, because we won 2 weeks in a row, but I bet they'll be in again. I bet the invites will be in again after this week, boys.
I played DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett in cash.
Buddy, any time that Davis, you can play Hayden Hurst on a spot where like the tight end options are so obvious. Great. Nate, I mean, dude.
Oh, I have no Hayden Hurst is not a regret to me.
Well, should be.
Yeah,
Andrews was legitimately bad. Mark Andrews in this spot should have been.
Well, so that is, but that's
at
not
the
even
the tight
what,
end position well, where the you
other,
have
the other
literally
the other thing
literally projections to, of like less than five for these guys. When you have a tight end like Mark Andrews at $800 cheaper than Kelsey, when he probably should have been priced at Kelsey or above, Andrews was like an incredible value, especially when you look at like what the other options were with Higbee and
but
Hurst
Higbee
and stuff like
Higbee
this.
Was the one Higbee was the one who kept showing up in optimals, and I am just sick of Tyler Higbee shit. I really had no interest in playing him at 4600, and not that it even matters, but Hurst did score more points than Higbee, obviously, because we've been waiting for the floor to fall out of this Higbee thing the entire time. Now were the 2v2 options that led to Andrews better? I mean, like for what it's worth, the Andrews team was the number one here. I gotta scroll up in the secret lineup chat, but I can go, let me go find the blended optimal, because I know the top blended optimal had Mark Andrews in it. So the top blended optimal projected for 154 points. It was Josh Allen, Ramondre Stevenson, Eno Benjamin, Rondale, Lockett, Metcalf, Mark Andrews, Henderson, and the Panthers. That team. Yeah, that team didn't get there.
No, because that team had incredible variance when you put it all on Geno Smith. When you put your entire cash lineup, all of your American dollars on Geno Smith throwing a touchdown to two wide receivers.
The team that I had was that would like. So really what led to all of the mistakes in the end was wanting to play Alvin Kamara over Kenneth Walker. That was actually the mistake.
I was going to say, like, don't get me wrong. Like, Kamara was obviously a really good play. He had 19 carries and 9 targets. You're never going to scoff at that for 6,700. But, like, paying up at running back on, like, an all-time running back value slate.
You know what it was, man?
What you doing?
You know what it was, dude? What? I played scared. It was like
mentally weak.
It was like, DJ Dallas is going to come in and play the passing down snaps, and Kenneth Walker's not going to get any receiving work, which I don't think he did, but it doesn't even matter.
He did. He played more receiving downs, I think I read, than DJ Dallas.
Here's the thing.
He was Rashad Penny.
It was. But I would have been absolutely rushing to play $5,400. I would not have waffled on $5,400 Rashad Penny in this spot.
Really? Mm-mm. Then why waffle
because
on Walker?
Because I played weak, dude. Because honestly, if you really want to know what it is this fucking dynasty nerd bullshit about Kenneth Walker not catching passes at Michigan State and rookie drafts. It was a big deal of like, oh my God, these boomers are taking Kenneth Walker over Drake London. Can you imagine? LMAO. And it's like that totally bled in to the process. And like Walker did have the one long rush TD last week, but had like 0% success rate on his runs. Other than that, I mean, there's no way around it. It was just mentally weak. It was just like, Kamara's going to get 18 receptions and 6 targets, and you know he's going to be a favorite for the bonus. And it was just bad. And honestly, the biggest feel play I had at the slate was Chase. That which was totally no data, right? Chase over Diggs was totally no data.
It was data, dude. The guy's got a massive whopper.
Well, Chase was in optimals when all of the sites had T. Higgins projected out, and then when they moved T. back in, Chase was not in the optimals anymore. But the Chase team just looked better. I mean, the Chase team just felt better and didn't end up playing it.
Well, the good news is you got your Cincinnati passing game exposure through Hayden Hurst. So, you know,
Hayden Hurst is the same thing as Tyler Higbee. He really is. There's no difference. I don't feel, I mean, the I know better spot there was I wanted to play Dawson Knox, which in the end actually would have led me to a winning team because he scored a touchdown at the end of the game. But that shit is neither here nor there. It was just, and then when the Panthers scored the defensive touchdown.
Oh my God, the tilt. It was a very fun time in the Gilcast.
And I still didn't get there. And I still didn't get there, even with the Panthers.
They had a pick six, and they only scored 9 points.
Geno Smith not get the ball to DK Metcalf in the end zone just time and time and time again was just, man, it was tilting. That was a tilting second half of games. I can't even explain.
Yeah.
While Diggs drops a 35 burger on my face.
Yeah, Gino douched me on a prize.
I'm just going to roll through some of the tilt. Metcalf has a touchdown in his hands right there, drops it, obviously doesn't secure it because the pass was slightly misplaced by Gino. Valdez-Scantling scores a touchdown, first drive, first quarter, called back, ticky-tack penalty. I think it was ineligible man blocking downfield by a cleat. He was over the distance. Then on the very next play, he has a touchdown in his hands. The guy apparently hasn't deadlifted in 6 months because he just lets Kalir Elam just rip it right out of his hands. Unbelievable. I mean, literally two touchdowns on the first drive, ends the game with 0 points. Just horrible. Obviously Kamara's got to end 1 yard short of the bonus. Why wouldn't Kamara end 1 yard short of the bonus? I mean, unbelievable, dude. Just so unbelievable. It's very easy to zoom out and be like, in the end, I'm going to grind out my 6% ROI playing cash games and have fun on the weeks where you do it. But the weeks where you are just getting smacked in the face by negative variance is just so brutal. It's so annoying.
Davis,
and I should have just played Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews legitimately was wide open in the end zone. Wide open, and it went off of his hands. It was the most stone hands drop I've ever seen in my life. And he could have had a 40 burger on you guys. He could have had a 40 burger on you, Davis.
Kenneth Walker also ran bad. Kenneth Walker, 3 yards short of the bonus.
3 yards short of the bonus. Yeah. I mean, this is the thing with Mark Andrews, though. I mean, as longtime listeners of this show know, nothing Mark Andrews loves to do more than just drop a wide open either touchdown pass or long pass, giving him the bonus. I mean, he just loves that stuff. He lives for it. Yeah.
God, I'm glad he donked it early in the game so that he could come back and get it later.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Why didn't I just play Kenneth Walker? I mean, why did I have to, I know better, the Kenneth Walker spot?
Buddy, you knew. We talked about it all week because me and you were very on team Walker over Henderson.
Didn't he end up getting there, though?
Well, he got a touchdown. 13.2.
Yeah, I mean, let's just take a quick look at, because Sammy, you and I were both like, Henderson, pretty shitty play. Like, they just don't really want to give him the ball. This is what the Rams backfield did. They had 9 players, not a typo, not misspeaking, 9 players receive a rush. Darrell Henderson, Cooper Kupp, Ben Skowronek, Malcolm Brown got 7 for 15. Brandon Powell had 3 rushes. Tutu Atwell got a rush. This guy they literally pulled off the street who played at Fresno State for 5 years, Ronnie Rivers, undrafted free agent, guys like my size. He's like 5'6". And Henderson got 12 rushes and 2 receptions. I mean, if you're not going to get it, if you're not going to get to 18 as a 10-point home favorite against the frickin' Panthers, like, you're just, it's just, it's not happening.
Well, I think what you had said earlier, that their team had like 62 fantasy points, their entire backfield. 5
games, their entire backfield.
it's just not a spot that you want to get. Like I get it because he's like the lead back now, but I didn't think by any stretch that he would be the dog like Kenneth Walker would. I didn't think he'd dominate snaps and touches in the same way that like Walker or even Eno Benjamin would.
Yeah. I mean, I just like, and obviously now, like, I mean, this is why it's a game of incomplete information. Cause obviously now it just feels really stupid knowing that Walker played so much and that, oh, and also that the Seahawks won that game. You know, I mean, there are like avenues of that game where like, you know, they can't convert it. They kick 5 field goals in the end.
It seemed like more, man. When you needed one Geno touchdown to smash all your parlays on Prize Picks and you don't get it. It was just like, come on, dude. Somebody's got to take one of these down. Like, come on, DK Metcalf, you clown. Unbelievable, this team. But, you know, I think, Nate, the challenge, and we're kind of making fun of it, but you make this very – and you're okay with it. Like, you're okay riding the variance, so it's fine, right? But
yeah,
like,
I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, but it's just so fragile that if shit goes wrong, man, like, this is how it goes. Yeah.
This is why you don't do what I did. But going into it, I looking at DK and Lockett, both in a 50-point team total or game total. Obviously, the Chiefs and the Bills with a 54-point game total was the place to be. But with the ownership and the prices where it was, not being able to get the exposure to that game, having Josh Allen, I felt like I was getting enough exposure to Diggs that adding Diggs didn't get me that much more. And I felt like I didn't have any weak spots in my lineup. I felt so good about not having to punt anywhere. And I thought that punting at tight end was a mistake. So
can we all just agree to not do the Higbee thing anymore though? Like, can we just all like no more Higbee? Like, Higbee shows up, I don't even know who they're playing. I don't know if he's on the slate, but if Higbee is $4,400 next week, like, just play Zach Gentry. Like, it just doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, Higbee went, he's getting like 8 to 10 targets every game. It was crazy. And then he got 2 in this game.
But he is just, but
Allen Robinson showed back up.
Well, the thesis, I guess, would be is that Higbee is going to do better when they're forced to throw. And how many drop? Yeah, Stafford only threw 33 times in this game.
Yeah.
And half the rushes were wide receiver rushes that were coming. I mean, it was so tilting.
When Skowronek broke off that run, every time Skowronek does something, I'm fairly sure it's Cooper Kupp, and then it ended up being
they look the exact same.
Yeah,
maybe I should have considered swapping to Mahomes, actually, thinking about it now.
Just to get even more,
and Allen obviously ended up scoring more points, but I just am like, because the one thing I knew for sure, and Nate, you pointed this out when we were talking about it, was just don't swap to Geno. Like, the Geno swap was so, like, I guarantee some people with a similar spot.
Some people probably did, but yeah, that would have been just asinine. Like,
giving up so many projected points, like so many project. Like, I bet the swap, if I went to go look, I bet the swap from Diggs to Davis, Lockett to Metcalf, Rondale to MVS, I bet I was giving up, what do you think, 6-7 points probably.
I was gonna say 5 to 6 points.
Maybe not even that much.
But even if, don't even think about mean projection. Just think about like overall range of outcomes. A high price wide receiver getting less than 5 isn't unheard of. That isn't a 5th percentile outcome. Like, Diggs does get single digit points.
I mean, Diggs has had snowflakes 3 times already.
Yeah. Well, Tyler Lockett, case in point. Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
Variance is what you're trying to swap off of. Swapping off a quarterback variance where it's like a bad game from Josh Allen is still 20 points.
Like, he's like 20. What right, are you, exactly. So it's like, oh, really Geno gets to 25. Allen gets 20. You're just not really gaining that much. I mean, the only other argument would have been like, if you wanted to get to Kupp, I guess, because the only way to get to Kupp would have been getting off. I just didn't seem possible, honestly. And obviously this like seems so dumb and shitty and stupid of me, much like everything I did today. But the thing I liked the most about the swap was just not playing Rondale and getting MVS there. Cause it's like, oh, MVS had 9 targets in the last game. Like, this is a high scoring game. He can score a long touchdown, yada, yada. And like, Rondale sucks, right? Always sucks.
Here's what you should have done. You should have just alphaed up and hitched up your panties and swapped.
Oh, I was going to say play Hardman, right?
No, that's Juju, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I guess keeping Diggs, Juju over Lockett, keeping Ron, that gets there. That wins. Yeah.
So, I mean easy we can to say in retrospect, Juju's been so bad.
But no, it's instructive to think about, like, okay, did I overreact? Did I swap too much? Was giving up 5-6 points too much? Should I have instead given up the 3 points just between Lockett and Juju, because you know that if you get that, like, if you get that decision right, you probably just win. Like, if you win that by 5, 6, 7 points, you probably just win.
And the other thing you could do, I know you didn't want to swap off Allen, but you could swap to Mahomes. You could go Mahomes, Juju, something like that.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Although yeah. Allen did beat Mahomes by 6 at the very end.
For sure.
Is there anything else interesting? Like why none of us played Chase, even though we all, well, I guess Nate probably didn't like him at all, but I really couldn't do Chase team.
And Andrews. And in the end, both Nate and I decided that Andrews offered such a big delta over the median other tight ends. And there was just, like, on a slate like this, I don't like paying up for tight end, but on a slate like this where there's value hitting you in the face, all these running backs, you know, Benjamin and, you know, Walker and these guys, plus Rondale Moore, who is kind of a lock in this game environment for super cheap and getting a bunch of targets. It's like, you got to spend that money somewhere. Obviously we're paying up at quarterback, but it's like, okay, I can go for one of these alpha, you know, it was basically, for me, it was Higbee and Chase/Diggs. Or Andrews plus Godwin. And in the end, I just felt way better about Andrews and Godwin. I just thought there was two big ceiling guys there as opposed to one. And that just made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Sammy, which is that when there is so much good value and you're not needing to pay $8K for multiple other spots, like, you actually are gaining quite a bit on the field by playing an Andrews or a Kelsey, because so many of your opponents are playing Zach Gentry and Tyler Higbee and Hayden Hurst, who, like, literally project for no points.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's been a big mental shift for me and probably for all of us, maybe not Nate, because Nate just looks at the spreadsheet and he's like, here we go. But, you know, we used to always pay down at quarterback and always pay down at tight end and then slam in all the skill position players. And as the game has evolved kind of last year and this year, the high-end quarterbacks, like the top, whatever, 3 to 5 quarterbacks, offer such a big gap over the rest. And then the top couple tight ends offer such a big gap over the rest that it's like, if you hit those when you have value available at the other spots, man, you got to take it. Like, it's 3 years ago, I would never pay up for quarterback and tight end. Like, you know, it would seem insane. So it's very against, like, the way I've historically built, but just the landscape, the way that fantasy looks now, I think it's kind of proper. Like I said, especially when you have, like, all this running back value on a slate like this, it's not that many slates we've had, like, sick running back replacement value, right?
Yeah, so, no, this was the best, but yeah, I would say the two biggest shifts that have kind of changed is, number one is paying up for QB, which is now, like, the sharp play where, I mean, 2 years ago is, oh man, Jameis Winston's 5,600 throwing the ball to Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, like, lock it. And I used to play cheap QBs every week. I mean, I was always playing the Derek Carrs, the Matt Ryans of the world, who are just going to be throwing a ton. But I now, like, it's all about paying up a QB. It's always going to be a Allen, Hurts, Mahomes discussion. And the other thing that's crazy is how condensed cash game ownership really is. I mean, no, like, lineups were not far off this week. There was, like, four builds maybe that you could have built. But I mean, these ownerships, they are more correlated than ever. Like, I mean, we had two running backs above 80% owned, a quarterback 75% owned in the 25 massive dollar double up. So, I mean, it's just.
Yeah. And Lockett, by the way, that he was, like, popping in all the projections, he was 68% owned. Like, that's a lot, you know, Rondell 50% owned. Like, yeah.
We wouldn't have seen that 3 years ago. So no, I think
three years ago, buddy, we would have been jamming in Skylar Thompson. Like, oh, yeah. Skylar Thompson and cash, let's go. Shout out Soccer Dave.
So yeah, DFS has definitely changed.
I mean, how many, like, we played Josh Allen 4 of the 6 slates, all of us, I think.
or Hurts.
I think I'm probably down to three or something like that.
I want to say there was one week one of you guys played Carr instead of Allen.
Not me. That sounds like a Nate.
That does.
Yeah, that's a Nate Nolan. that's a Nemo Nate play right there.
Was it Mac Hollins week? Did I stack? I don't remember. No, I think I played Lamar one. I can't remember. I don't know. I don't think I played Carr and Cash yet.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, it's been a weird season.
Yes. It has not been particularly. I mean, there's just been a lot of adjustments. There's always adjustments. I do think it feels like we do kind of have this conversation as the field gets incrementally sharper, but it's like, if the field is going to be so overlapped, what does that do? Does that just mean that you are trying to play more of the, you know, are you just trying to play more of, like weird players, like not play instead of playing the number one optimal, so like the number five optimal, or playing less double ups and just more head to heads or something like that, where, I mean, this is very inside baseball, but DraftKings will refund you the head to head if you play the same team as someone else. So that does actually impact the rate calculation and your win rate type stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, I would say I've gone to a higher head to head, mix this year for sure. I just think it's sharper, because when you do go off the wall, like, you win more, you know what I mean? And obviously you lose more. I'm okay with the swings. You know, I court them, I like them, but when you get all these trains and stuff in double ups, especially where the rake is not great in the double ups, it's just like, you know, I'll do the big ones and I'll do, yeah, I don't know, like 10 of them a week. But like, other than that, I think I'm just trying to do as many head to heads as possible.
And if you take a random sampling of your head to head ownership, if you grab like 15 head to heads and look at your ownerships compared to the high dollar double ups, the double ups are going to be much sharper. Head to heads, you see weird lineups that, like, in your double ups would have a 0.2% ownership, where over a sampling of 100 head to heads, you might have two or three people who play lineups like that. So I think head to heads are much better action overall.
I mean, you know, I can see it going both ways. Like, obviously, I mean, honestly, sometimes you can even see it with the teams that win, where you like look at like the team that literally finishes first place in the big double ups or whatever, and you're like, oh, that guy played three guys sub 1% ownership, which, like, generally that type of lineup would be paying the rake or whatever. So, I mean, obviously,
I'm just
there
saying,
are some
if you
dead
play
entries.
100, if you play 100 head to heads, I don't think 75 are going to have Josh Allen. Where pretty much every double up you're in, 75% of the people played Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Okay, let's do tournament teams.
Don't want this.
This was the team that I played in the red zone and the spy. Patrick Mahomes at 4.2% ownership. I thought probably the biggest inefficiency this week was that Mahomes was going to be 300% less owned than Josh Allen. Obviously did not end up mattering. Allen got there in the end. Could have gone the other way. Whatever. Nah, I'm not bitter about it. Actually, I am pretty bitter about it. And then the running backs that I play with him were Alvin Kamara at 15%, Deion Jackson at 6.8%, and Eno Benjamin at 61%. I mean, I was pretty comfortable playing him at 40%, and I still don't think playing him at 61% was like that bad. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe it is just horrible. But I like Eno Benjamin's probably the most confidence I've had in a value play. Oh, well, Khalil Shakir last week was 100% confidence play, but I would say Eno was like an 8 out of 10 on the confidence scale. And I mean, the workload was totally there. He gave up, I think Keonta Ingram got in for 3 rushing attempts. I mean, he barely played.
Yeah, I was totally fine playing Eno in GPPs, because at some point you need to differentiate good chalk and bad chalk, right? You need to be like, yo, this guy's going to be chalky, I'm going to wear it in tournament. But like, none of us were playing Rondell Moore in GPPs, right?
Yes. Correct.
You know what I mean? So like, I thought Benjamin, especially for his price, he's 4.6K. It's just like, look,
big difference between Eno at 4.6, and that week where Jamal Williams was, what was he, 5.8 that one week, and Super Owned, like, there is actually a pretty meaningful difference between 4.6 at running back and mid 5Ks.
Yeah, I agree. So I was good with Eno.
Okay, and then the wide receivers I played, Stephon Diggs, 27%. I thought that seemed fine because Juju was 4%. Hilarity of all hilarities, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 13% when Juju was 4%. I thought that was pretty funny.
The public confidence in Juju is not high.
It's just all-time low. And then Kyle Pitts was 2.1% owned, 2.1% too much. He did score a touchdown, but literally, who cares? And then the Colts defense. Oh, I forgot to tilt about this in my cash lineup. I played the Jaguars defense, who faced 58 Matt Ryan passing attempts, did not record a sack, did not record an interception, did not record a fumble force. I mean, what the goddamn fuck? Matt Ryan is all-time
pathetic.
Matt Ryan is averaging, like, I would have to guess, like, four or probably five sacks plus turnovers a game. Honestly, if you extrapolate it out through their first five games, got to be close to four. And they faced, I mean, he just, every snap was dropping back. He just wasn't even, they were not even thinking about running the ball, and they couldn't even get a hand on this guy. What is the deal?
They're the Jaguars, bro.
I guess.
They straight up lost to Houston and dicked us in Survivor last week.
Straight up. It's true. So the other reason I played the Colts defense on this team, obviously, was the little mini correlation with Deion Jackson, and I just didn't want to play the Panthers defense in anything. Looking at the ownership, looking at the points they scored, I would play this team on this slate. 10 out of 10. Thought it was a really good team. Didn't get rich, is what it is.
Tough.
Deion Jackson, he was like my gold star play of the day.
It was really sharp because he was the one value play that was getting forgotten, right? He was the one, and he's at home as a big favorite in the dome. It certainly got a good amount of pass game work last week when he filled in. Obviously, just didn't get like the bell cow role. So people were like, well, you know, screw that. But I think it was actually really sharp. I thought about putting him in some GPPs and I didn't. And yeah, I think you're sharp for doing it.
This team that won the red zone, it really interesting. So he kind of did the same thing structurally where he played a 4% owned quarterback. He played Burrow and Chase, obviously, with the Nola narrative. No Saints bring back, though. The winning team in the red zone, Joe Burrow, Ramondre Stevenson, Breece Hall, Diggs, Juju, Chase, Zach Gentry, LOL. And then Travis Etienne. So he didn't play Walker. He didn't play Walker or Benjamin. And then the Giants defense. Interesting to see that, like honestly, looking at this lineup is like a reminder, like, you don't really have to get that many things right to win these tournaments, dude. It's mostly like you nail the stack and then you kind of just have a couple guys that don't, like, obviously the Millie Makers, like, you got to hit a 19 parlay.
You got to hit the nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. But these tournaments, it's just like, this is just a very well-constructed team. This guy who won.
I mean, Giants defense is just an all-time like nut sack move.
It's very strong. It's pretty good, though, I think, to just like be like, I don't give a shit about anything going on at defense. I'm just not playing one that's projected more than 5% owned. Like, that's really just the rule of thumb.
That's pretty much what I do in tournaments.
That is the thing to do, IMO.
Yeah.
All right, Nate, how'd you blow it in GPP this week?
I felt good about my strategy. I wanted to avoid Kansas City and Buffalo entirely. I just thought in tournaments, like, building a stack room, that was
what, why, what's the,
the ownership. I mean, it was literally the game that every single person who was building a DFS lineup cared about this week.
But the Chiefs side was not owned. I mean, we just went through it. People did not play Chiefs players.
Yeah. I was under the impression that all of that was just going to get steamed. I thought that people would plug into their optos, two and one, or a bring back, or a 2-2. And all of these Chiefs players, even though optimals weren't shoving them in, as soon as you start building game stacks, I figured those guys would all just get.
But people are not using the optos to build their single entry three max stuff. That's all hand building.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people still build on things like Fantasy Cruncher and stuff with rules and stuff. Sure. But yeah, anyway, so I wanted to avoid that game entirely. And so I went and I picked two games that I wanted to stack. So I built, I had three tournament teams. But my, the one on the red zone was a, I still can't believe I did it, but a Green Bay stack.
No!
Wait for it.
Mate,
wait for it. Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard, and Bob Tonyan was my Green Bay side. And I brought it back with Wilson, who literally did nothing for the Jets. So the stack did not work other than the Bob Tonyan part. But it allowed me, because I knew the stack was going to be essentially unowned, that I could build the rest of the lineup how I wanted to. So I then went with Walker, Stevenson, Chase, Andrews, and Colts D. And I
isn't it easier to do it the other way though? Build the game stack you want and then find the one-offs that are less.
Well, that's what I normally do. I play chalky games and then I end up with these random one-offs. So this
you played something wacky last week too, Nate. What did you play last week that was just like totally off the wall?
No, I've been playing pretty chalky game stacks and then one-offing or trying to go off the board. But so I put up 163 in this and did like, I think that's a min cash or a little over a min cash. But overall, I just wanted to get off the board. Kansas City ownership was less than I thought it would be when I looked at ownerships. But I still do think there is value to getting off with a game stack and then building with just the best plays. And I thought Chase, Walker, Ramondre, getting that and not having to worry about ownership felt good, but the stack obviously didn't do anything.
God, I need to remember, Nate. You did something wacky last week where it was just like,
I can pull it up.
Yeah, you got to pull
it up. You go, Sammy. I'll find it.
Okay, I'll do my lineup. This lineup, I think was the red zone. It finished 5,300th and 58 out of 5,600 teams. So obviously I'm really proud of it. I'm sitting here berating Nemo Noling for his off the wall stacks. And this was a Tom Brady double stack.
This is worse than what Nate did, because I bet you played this into like pretty high cumulative ownership.
Yeah, you played that into ownership.
That is correct, you guys.
Oh, Sammy, this is I made four teams, and one of them was a Brady team, and I was sitting there looking at it. I was like, what am I gonna do? Play Brady with like 900 of my closest friends? This is horrible. And then I just built another Mahomes team.
This team sucks ass, bro. listen to this goddamn team. Brady, Evans, and Godwin.
What was Evans and Godwin?
They were each 20%. Evans was 21.2. Godwin was 20.
F minus. What was Brady?
15. So yeah. So I fucking flunk. Fire me to the goddamn sun. I bring it back, of course, with Zach Gentry, who at 14.5% caught one pass for 4 yards. He gets the snowflake. Of course, I played Eno Benjamin in this lineup. Where I did get very contrarian is I played Joe Mixon at 2%. Not only did I play Joe Mixon, but I also took his yardage overs on Prize Picks and got an F minus for all of it. I filled it out with Gabe Davis and DK Metcalf. And DK Metcalf wasn't like unowned, right? He was like 16% owned, but he was kind of like one of my favorite plays on this slate, because obviously we're talking about a good game environment, but also just he created so much leverage off Walker and Lockett, who are going to be chalky, that I really liked Metcalf as one-offs. Metcalf just didn't like catching touchdowns today. So tough scene. And then I played the Colts defense at 2.4%. This team scored 92.92 points. And I think the moral of the story is, I mean, I've been talking about Brady being dust all season, and I'm like, you know what, dude?
And if you're going to play, here's the thing. If you're going to play a team that you know is owned, play like the best team that's going to be owned. Don't play the second chalk. The second chalk has got to be way worse than the, like, if we were ranking them, probably we would have ranked them Allen doubles, Geno doubles, which feels insane knowing the results of that game, and then Brady doubles, right? And you would have assumed, you would have assumed that ownership probably is going to be pretty close between the Geno and the Brady ones. So it's like, what are, like, what are we doing here,
buddy? I'm just
Sammy. I found my team from last week. It was a Bridgewater with Waddle and Tyreek.
That's right.
Hey, you were a week too early.
I was a week early. If I would have played it this week, all the money, because I would have brought it back with Brees. Oh, well, I did bring it back with Brees all last week. But anyway, I still think like that Miami double stack is there.
Well, dude, I mean, playing Teddy Bridgewater is definitely better than playing Tom Brady. Like, I mean, we talked about it week one. Like, the guy's trying to take off days. He's not going to camp. His wife is telling him to take Wednesdays off, and then he doesn't do it. And she's like, I'm divorcing you. She put a hex on him. Like, he's just – he's done, man. It's over.
And I can't believe – I hate to, like – I know you guys are narrative take, but actually, like, I don't hate on the Brady stuff that much. He's old. He's dust. But their pass rate over expected this year is off the freaking charts since Godwin.
Yeah, they can't,
and
they can't run. They, like, can't run.
They aren't running the ball.
Is dead.
There's going to be games where that stack goes off and we all look like idiots for not playing the Godwin-Evans double stack. Like, Evans is going to have these games where he puts up 110 with two touchdowns. Godwin's going to have a 10 for 120 game. Like,
okay,
they pass so much.
This is – I just want to bring this up because it was the only thing that made me smile today. Pete found this team that was top 10 in the spy. Listen to this team. Teddy Bridgewater –
oh, not wow. Skyler, is this, not is this
backup quarterback?
Not it's Skylar Beach? Thompson. Not Skylar Thompson. Teddy Bridgewater. Deion Jackson. Tevin Coleman. MVS. Mm. MVS just somehow found his way in there. Tyreek. Waddle. Mark Andrews. 1.4% Brandon Ayuk. Rams defense.
Man, what a fucking alpha.
You just got to pick winners, dude.
Enjoy your money, son. Enjoy your money. You deserved it.
Not that hard, dude. Just pick winners. All you got to do is pick winners. Yeah.
Wow. What a boss. What a boss. Yeah. Good for you, man. Enjoy that money.
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's we really should try to win next week, because this was hard emotionally.
Yeah, I don't even feel great. Like, but
yeah, I don't even think we mentioned it. I mean, Sammy got there, bro. So good.
Yeah, I mean, I got there. Like, I won, but you know. I was two Ramondre receiving yards away from a big day on prize picks. So now I'm tilting.
I hit the shitfecta of losing cash. All my high stakes main event teams did poorly, and the Chiefs lose on a backbreaking Patrick Mahomes interception. So just you just don't want to see it, really.
The good news is you have a mortgage now, Davis. So you know it's not a big deal.
These puppies need to eat, bro. What can you do? I guess I'll know to play Kenneth Walker moving forward, not fade him like a dipshit fish.
Yep.
Alpha. All right, you guys got anything else?
No, that's it. That's it. Yeah, the people are happy. I think the people are happy with your tilted performance, Davis. This is what they've been looking for all year.
I don't think anything will ever beat Mark Andrews 6 for 99 and dropping the pass to catch him over the bonus. But
the height of irony that he came back to crush your soul today, I think is a pretty good recompense.
Just can't fucking get this guy right. All right, guys, we're out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.